Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
So, welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We're joined by Peter Krugel, CEO of Mast Energy Developments, to discuss the company's landmark joint venture with Carbon Zero Markets. And it really is a landmark adventure. This agreement underpins Mast's ambitious plans to deliver 1 gigawatt. Now, I remember thinking 300 megawatt was going to be impressive a wee while back, but of AI data center power. Tell us more, Peter. I mean, ultimately, from my point of view, I'm looking at this going, if they took 1 gigawatt from the normal power supply, a country would be in trouble, no, in terms of the amount of power it needs.
Yes, that's exactly right. Thanks, Kevin. And as you say, this is a landmark step forward for us in terms of our new strategy. So we've established a very clear strategy regarding our AI data center power supply growth plans. And that comes about, and we've actually established this strategy before the recent wave of major capital investments that's been announced since the President Trump's second state visit to the UK. Even before that, you know, if you go back in our RNS announcements, we've introduced this strategy because we saw this opportunity. We saw this uptick in data center developments. A data center, probably its major requirement is power supply, and not only power supply, but reliable, redundant power supply. And we saw a massive gap in the market. So our initial target in our you know, normal business model, which is still ongoing, you know, we've got various strategies running simultaneously at the moment. And I'll touch on that as a reminder later in the conversation. But that's where our initial 300 megawatt target came from, is just looking at the normal market, normal demand. You know, we saw a gap in the market regarding flexible power generation. And we felt that getting to 300 is realistic for us. But with the AI data center developments exploding, and the wide expectation at the moment is that that's going to increase to 8 gigawatt of power demand over the next few years, you know, there's a significant gap there. So we feel that, you know, our ambitious target of 1 gigawatt is reasonable and achievable. And especially now, after all these major investments that's been announced the past while, there's a very realistic opportunity for us.
Why do you think that they've chosen the UK as a major hub in terms of the Americans? Because we don't have cheap electricity, but at the same time, maybe we have island security, I suppose, is maybe more important. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yes, that's a good question. And I think there's various reasons. I think it's got to do with political relationships. I think it's not a secret that the UK has got a very good relationship with the US, always has, likely always will. So I think that's a big part of it. I think the US is confident in the UK as a reliable, trusted trading partner. And we're seeing this not only on the AI infrastructure side of things, you know, that's recently been announced, but also in other sectors. You know, the UK was able to negotiate some of the most favorable trade deals with the US to date. And that, you know, I think that just goes to show that there's a very strong relationship there. And I think that created the foundation for US tech giants and infrastructure investment funds to announce the biggest investment deals outside of the US in history into the UK.
Yeah. So we're talking there about the 11 billion plus in AI infrastructure investment in the UK, but more NVIDIA's GPU cluster and Microsoft's 30 billion package that you're talking about. I mean, these are not small amounts of money if we're being realistic.
Yes, absolutely right. You know, and I mean, as you say, the UK doesn't have the cheapest electricity, but I think we've got some of the most reliable electricity supply. You know, the National Energy Security Operator recently published an initial study of findings into the power disruption in Spain recently. And I think what came out of there is to say that the UK grid is geared toward avoiding such incidents. And not only that, they identified, or they're in the process of identifying any gaps in order to plug those gaps and to make the UK electricity grid, you know, solid. And we're a part of that of that industry. You know, we service that industry and we fill those gaps as well. That's kind of our main focus is standby power or flexible generation to come in when there's a need. And yeah. So I think that's also a reason why the UK is such an attractive location for data center development.
We saw that with Energy Pathways and now this S35 as well, in terms of gas off the coast of Lancashire. That's an interesting thing, actually. I must put you guys in touch with Ben Klug, and you talk to each other about offtakes and stuff in terms of the gas and all the different things that you're doing, because it might be applicable. Yes. So tell me a little bit about carbon zero markets. Okay, who are they? Obviously, the good news is you've got majority holding in all of this, 77.5% in the JV, special purpose vehicles. Tell us more.
When we formulated the strategy, we decided that we want to partner with the right outfit in order to bolster the strategy, because, you know, our approach is 1 + 1 = 3. If you do it the right way, instead of going at it alone.
That's called dodgy accounting, Peter, and you're an accountant. Stop it.
That's called science, Kevin. So, you know, leveraging off each other's strengths, we decided on carbon zero markets for various important reasons, including that they service a different segment of the same market. So we both operate in the same market, but we do different things. And if we put those two things together, you know, it's worth more and it unlocks more value than each of us individually. So they predominantly trade carbon tax certificates in the UK and the EU. So they're very much in touch with anybody that's got a power need. And they also supply green gas, you know, which for us is also quite an important thing going forward from an emissions perspective. So we felt that, you know, they're an ideal partner from that perspective. And they're also very well connected in the industry. So they've got AI data center developers and owners as clients, which we're already speaking to. So I think all of that just made sense. We negotiated the joint venture agreement and ended up with the terms that we've announced now. And MAST will have the controlling stake, the majority stake. Carbon Zero will also have a substantial stake, and that alleviates the funding burden going forward, which I think is beneficial for all parties. And it also de-risks, you know, investments for us going forward as well. So I think that also makes sense.
Very good. How quickly do you think the rollout of this can happen? And are the units going to be placed next to the AI centers, you know? So here's an AI center, here's your, you know, on their land, if you like. Is that the plan?
Yes, that's exactly the plan, Kevin. So all the AI data center developers and owners that we're already speaking to have expressed a very serious need for redundant power supply. Yes, their primary source might be the national grid, but, you know, they have to have redundant power supply. So they're very keen on our solution. You know, our site footprint is very small, so we can co-locate next to them and supply them with whatever they need. And with whatever they don't need, we can just apply our usual business model, sell into the merchant market, partake in the capacity market, etc. So it enhances our economics.
And how does that work? AI center comes to you. Okay, we want 25 megawatts on here. You turn around and say, okay, we can do that. You have to take a few million off them, I presume, to start the work, or how does it work?
Yes, ideally they would, if not fully, at least co-fund the CapEx for the FlexGen sites, which is another benefit of partnering with the data center developer and owner. They usually have quite deep pockets. We will retain a significant equity stake in the project, of course. We will operate the project and we will negotiate an attractive private power purchase agreement with the data center. So we will have a fixed tariff, which we can rely on, which is bankable. And as I said, that's over and above our usual economics.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could be talking, obviously, at times that the data center requires the electricity, then it's all going to go to the data center. They're going to have a fixed payment for it. But the rest of the time, i.e. the other 300 days of the year or whatever it happens to be, you're going to be able to operate these things, put it into the grid or whenever the grid is required, and you'll get the market contracts, I presume, to be able to do that.
Yes, 100% right.
Okay, so it's a bit of a no-brainer really then, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And there's really a massive demand, you know, so I think, as I mentioned previously, and, you know, as is the market expectation, the power supply demand for data centers are going to go up to 8 gigawatt over the next few years, and there's not sufficient supply at the moment. So there really is very, very, very good demand. I mean, it's a case of finding the first projects, rolling it out on a modular basis, and plug and play really.
So do you think it's possible that you would achieve your 22,000 or whatever the actual figure it is right now per megawatt from these AI centers?
£24,000 per megawatt per
24.
Month, yes. Yes, I think at least we are looking potentially to increase that because for the data center, they're willing to pay a premium for security, of course. You know, so if they can get electricity from the merchant market at the same price that we're able to sell, you know, we could probably add a premium on top of that. But those numbers we're still working through. So, but there is potential for upside, yes.
I'm just trying to get a handle on 1,000 times 24,000 is a lot. It's £24 million a year. Now, you're not going to get all of that. Obviously, the SPV, the AI center will have some of it. The other company will own some of it, but let's assume it's even half of that, you know, 50%, that isn't the whole game. That's £12 million a year in free cash flow. That's good.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it means, you know, on a utility basis, you've got to be looking at least 20 times that as a market cap, if you're being realistic in terms of the future. Now, that isn't today, obviously, that's in 3 years' time, but still, we can now see a much higher valuation to this company is on its way, without doubt.
Yes, exactly right. Kevin, the numbers that you just quoted there, that's for the first 100 megawatt. You know, so we can extrapolate that to 300 and to 1,000.
No, that was to 1,000, I think. £24 million for 1,000.
It's 24,000 megawatts.
Sorry, that's per month. That's per month, sorry. So times 12. So it's $144 million of free cash flow per annum. Sorry, my maths is very good.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that. I just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, no, you're talking about 140 to 150 million pounds per annum free cash flow, 1 gigawatt, which would be phenomenal. I mean, your company would be worth, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions. So yeah, I can see the future is coming together very well. So tell me, you use the word in your confidence speech at the end of the RNS. Imperative. Why do you see that this is imperative? Is no one else can do this other than you guys, or what's the crap?
So I mean, as I mentioned, you know, every single discussion that we're having at the moment with data center developers and owners, we're getting the same message, is that they've got a critical need for redundant power supply, and you know, there's not enough supply, there's not enough people doing this. So I think we're a first mover. I think at the moment we're one of the few companies doing this, and you know, we're not looking to take the full 8 gigawatt demand. We just want a gigawatt of that, which is around 12% of the expected demand over the next few years, which we think is reasonable and which we think is achievable.
It's coming, because we were joking here before the interview that in a year's time, we're going to need a lot of electricity, because I'm going to be Kevin AI and you're going to be Peter AI, and we're going to feed all the data in of our previous podcasts, put the RNS in, and Bob's your uncle, you'll have an RNS. Oh, sorry, you'll have a podcast. That's going to take a lot of electricity, whether we like it or not. You know, it comes at a cost. And certainly I can see that, you know, you being tied to the AI market is going to be nothing but positive for this company. So, I mean, I'm very positive about it, but have your last words and we'll tell the market.
Thanks, Kevin. Yes, so the next step for us is to roll out the first phase of this specific strategy, which is 100 megawatts, which we hope to do over the next 12 months. And that will most likely be in chunks of around 20 to 25 megawatts. But we are already in, you know, as I mentioned, in discussions with various data center developers and owners. So we are making very good progress. And yes, I think this will pick up speed quite quickly. In the meantime, simultaneously, we're also progressing the rest of our strategy. So we've got the greenfield strategy where we are now developing our own sites from scratch. Previously, we paid a very significant premium to third-party developers to buy shovel-ready sites. We now have the expertise and the experience to develop those sites ourselves. One of the benefits of that strategy is we can go and zoom in on the most attractive demand areas in the UK for FlexGen sites and develop our sites right there. So we're busy progressing that. We've got an initial portfolio of 25 megawatts, five times circa 5 megawatt FlexGen sites that's being developed at the moment on that front. We're making good progress. We're hoping to increase that over the next few months, that the portfolio size there. The first hurdle in that process is to find the right properties. So you literally have to go and knock on doors, speak to landowners, etc. You know, get the right property size, make sure it's near a grid connection that's got the necessary capacity, that it's near a gas connection that's got the necessary capacity, that the local council has got planning consent precedent, and that they understand these projects. So there's a step process to be followed, but we understand that process very well. We've done it before. We're doing it now ourselves. And that means we can develop these projects up to shovel-ready stage at about one-fifth of the cost of buying it from a third-party developer. So we're saving a lot of cost. We're saving a lot of time doing it ourselves. And we can cherry-pick locations. So we're doing that. And also, in tandem, we've got our brownfield strategy where we take the successes at Pyebridge and duplicate that. So we are in the final phase of acquiring a 7 megawatt brownfield site, as we recently announced. And we're just going to duplicate the exact approach we had at Pyebridge. That property or that site has got existing infrastructure on, requiring limited refurbishment work that results in a lower CapEx investment and a much quicker time to income generation. You know, so we're quite excited about that strategy as well. So if we put all of this together, you know, we've got a lot of momentum at the moment, and we are making progress on our portfolio of megawatts.
Very good. Well, we look forward to hearing the next steps. And you're going to be a busy man, I think, in the next period of time, Peter.
Yes, that's the hope. Thanks, Kevin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.